This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Along here, Sharp Money VSiN, the sports betting network. Dustin Sweetelson here. We will have Patrick Maher back momentarily. A bit of a power outage in Los Angeles where he is at home, where this time of year, for those of you that don't know and don't know how power grids work, I actually don't know either. But here's what I do know is when I lived there and it was the hottest months of the year, they told me don't use your air conditioning because situations like this will happen. You will kill the power grid for all of your neighbors and no one will have air conditioning, television, or internet. So Patrick is currently living by the beach right now, living in 1973 without the internet at his fingertips. But we will cruise on here on Sharp Money as we have a lot to discuss, with today being a holiday around VSiN. Obviously, our betting guide for the NFL has dropped. You can go VSiN.com/subscribe right now. 13 months of VSiN Pro access for everything we do. Just use the promo code guide, VSiN.com/guide. And all the information is there. And there's a lot of great picks. And picks are awesome. But if you want to learn how to do this on your own, there's no better person to talk to than our own Josh Applebaum. He, you know him from the All Systems Go podcast. You know him from the Sharp Report over at VSiN.com. And he is my only friend who is also an author. The book, available on Amazon, The Everything Guide to Sports Betting from Pro Football to College Basketball, Systems and Strategies for Winning Money. Josh, how are we doing? Thank you for stopping by as always. I really want to pick your brain here. But first, how's the week going so far for you? It's 2 weeks back from your trip to Africa.
So far, so good, Dustin. So it's great to be with you as well. And still adjusting to kind of getting back into the swing of things and back in America, betting on sports. And I still have flashbacks to Africa. But what I like about today, Dustin, is kind of the fact that we're turning the page a little bit toward the NFL. So first off, just a huge shout out to the team at VSiN, led by my guy Adam Burke, who really spearheaded this guide. Go sign up, VSiN.com/guide. Such great information in terms of looking at awards, you know, win totals, futures, division winners, all included here. But what I want to talk to you about today, Dustin, are the bet splits. Because you know me, I know you. One thing that I love to look at are bet splits, and I think there's a great advantage. And the article that I wrote in the guide was specifically how to use bet splits in the NFL to your advantage and help you win.
So I think this is great. Let's pull back, though, a little bit on the splits and how we get to here, because you're a systems bettor. You have systems that you stand by, that you follow. And I think this would be beneficial for people looking to bet the NFL, maybe for the first time, or find a different way to look at it. How does your handicap when it comes to specific NFL games begin?
So I think it begins with a couple different factors here, Dustin. Number one, let's take a step back. The NFL is the best sport overall to take a contrarian approach. So one thing I learned back in the day, and it took me a lot of losses as a public bettor, I never knew it at the time, but I was always taking the teams getting 90% of bets because they were popular. They were looked like the obvious play, looked like they would always have to win. But over time, I adopted a contrarian philosophy. And the reason why taking a contrarian approach, which just means betting against the public, going against the masses, going against the grain, really the NFL is the best sport to do that because it's the most popular sport. If you look at the handles generated, the TV ratings for the different NFL games, I think like of the 100 Nielsen highest rated programs, like probably 90 of them are NFL games. So you got to think about it from the perspective of, you know, I'm betting into a market where there's a huge influx and a huge predominance of just recreational bettors, casual bettors. And if you take another step back, you got to say to yourself, okay, the majority of bettors betting NFL are basically betting, you know, $5-$10 a game. They love the NFL sport. They want some skin in the game, but they're going to have certain tendencies, Dustin. So the first one that they're going to look toward are favorites, because they want to bet on, quote unquote, the better team expected to win. They're also going to look toward betting a lot of overs because it's fun to root for a lot of points. So in NFL, really my starting point is leaning toward dogs and unders. It's just a very simple starting point where you can kind of place yourself against the public. Again, more often than not, the public's going to lose. The house always wins. And then it becomes a game of, okay, I'm leaning dogs, I'm leaning unders, but then we want to dig deeper into the data and then also make sure that we're on the sharp side of every bet.
So you go to VSiN.com, we have the exclusive betting splits from DraftKings, and that lets us know where the money is moving. Obviously, that end result is the lines will move if enough money goes. So give the audience a little bit of what you are looking for specifically. Also, how early in the week are you monitoring all of this to catch these line moves before you miss out on an opportunity? Because there are key numbers involved in the NFL.
Yeah, key numbers are so huge. Obviously, 3-7. We've seen them change a little bit. You're seeing like more sixes that are really important. Even with totals, they're not as important, but you know, 47, 51, some of these numbers. But to answer your question, Dustin, I think you want to monitor this stuff all week long. You don't want to wake up on a Sunday and be behind the eight ball and try to, you know, get your picks in time. To me, what I like about the NFL is each week is its own individual entity where you're kind of starting from as soon as those lines come out on Sunday after a lot of those games end and monitoring them throughout the week. But my starting point, if we're going to specifically look at these bet splits, which to me, the bet splits are so important because they answer two questions, Dustin, that I need to know as a data-driven bettor. One, where's the public? Two, where's the smart money? So very simply, we can find out where the public is just by going to VSiN.com to the splits page and looking at the percentage of bets for the spread, because we want to focus on the spread. That's the most heavily bet type with the most public action. But the percentage of bets is going to tell you where the public is. All we're looking at is trying to be less than 50%. But really, Dustin, my line of demarcation is 65-35. If I can be on a side of 35% or less, that gives me a little more excitement that I'm betting against the masses. So I'll give you an example. If you look at the opening night game, Ravens in the Chiefs, right now on our VSiN.com bet splits, 75% of bettors are taking the Ravens. Now, word of caution, it's still, you know, late June. There's a lot of things can change. Bets are still low at this point. But if this were to stay true closer to opening night, 75% of bets on Ravens, a trendy dog, I would immediately look toward the Chiefs in this spot. Right now they're at -3. So that's kind of my starting point. Where's the public? Anytime you see a team getting, you know, 65% or more, I'm avoiding them, Dustin. I'm looking at the teams 35% or less.
I love it. Josh Applebaum with us, the podcast. All systems go, available wherever you get your podcasts. Also, great work here, VSiN.com. Read the Sharp Report every day. He's got baseball picks, and now we're talking a little NFL with the VSiN NFL betting guide out and about. Check it out now, VSiN.com/guide. So, Josh, with the betting splits, I think this is all – it's just another tool for people to add to how they're handicapping games. And one thing I learned from you very early on, before I even got to VSiN, was to just have certain strategies and systems you live by on top of this. So one thing you always taught me, primetime game, home divisional dogs, or even just divisional dogs, they get overlooked, they feel like ugly bets, but it also feels like they come through a lot in those standalone Monday, Thursday type games.
Great point by you, Dustin. Yeah, I think, you know, it's going to take you one of these games where, like, you know, there's this disgusting play. You say there's no chance it can win. And then you watch it win and cover, and then a light goes off in your head and you say, okay, wow, there's this whole other world that I can kind of enter into and try to take advantage of against being against the public and with the smart money. So great point by you. You know, just mentioned that Baltimore-Kansas City game, but really if you're going contrarian, focus on the primetime game. So Sunday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, Monday night, Thursday, Monday, and Sunday.
Yep.
Those are your most heavily bet games with the most public action. And the reason is there's no other games to compete with. So they're standalone games that are nationally televised. So if you're getting, you know, a less than 35% unpopular bet in a primetime game, I'll take that every day of the week. And I know this extends, you know, past the bet splits, but you mentioned another great point that I love. Divisional dogs. If you look at historically how dogs do outside the division, playing teams that are outside their division versus inside their division, they cover at around a 2% higher clip inside the division than outside. So for example, you know, my Patriots, they'll probably be terrible this year, Dustin. Their win total is 4.5. But if they're getting, you know, 7.5 points against the Bills, they're only getting 20% of bets, and we start to see the 7.5 fall down to 7. Boom, we're starting to piece together a puzzle here where we have a divisional angle because that built-in familiarity levels the playing field, benefits the team getting points. And then lastly, with the best bet splits, Dustin, wait later in the week because they're the stronger, the closer you get to game time. But also look for low bets, higher dollars. Like if you're seeing a team that's only getting 35% bets but 60% of the money, that is just a great indication there that the bigger, sharper wagers are in their favor. So I've written all about this, you know, in the VSiN.com betting guide, but these are the little things that even though we're far away from the NFL, we're not that far away. You want to start thinking about these things so you can get prepared for the upcoming season.
It's great. It helps. And I can't tell you how many times one of Josh's systems seemed so obvious that I didn't bet it. And then it comes through and it just makes so much sense because we do get so many of these divisional games in prime time on these standalones. It just makes sense. So check it out in the guide. A great write-up from our guy Josh here. I do want to touch on one team before we let you go here, because they were the darling of the offseason. They made a lot of great additions. The Houston Texans, Stephon Diggs in the mix now. They add at running back Joe Mixon. DeMeco Ryans gets a bunch of pieces for his defense. What are you doing futures-wise with the Texans?
Yeah, so it worries me a little bit that they are kind of the ascending team that's popular and flashy, and typically I like to avoid those teams, Dustin. But I'm also kind of a, you know, a slave to the data and what it's telling me. So what I'm going to do with the Texans is go over 9.5 wins. To me, this is a team that can win 10 wins. They had 10 wins last year. You rattled off a great offseason number of additions that they've added. Stroud going into year two. Ryan's going into year two. But let's just look at the data. If you look at the way this win total has moved throughout the offseason, Dustin, it opened at 9.5, but it was juiced up under minus 120. Now it's 9.5 over minus 140. So we've seen a big shift here with the win total. And that's one thing that I really pay attention to, juice movement. Also, if you look at BetMGM, got a batch of data about a week ago, only about 85% of bets, but over 95% of the money is betting this Texans over win total. And if you're betting win totals right now, you're probably not a quote-unquote public bettor. You're probably a wise guy or wise gal trying to get this number in a little bit early. So it may feel like an obvious bet. To me, Dustin, the Texans are kind of like the Baltimore Orioles. Young team, young core, on the rise. Give me the over 9.5 wins. I like them to win 10 games or more this year.
I love it. I love it. Look, it's hard to argue with what the Texans did in the offseason. It's hard to argue the way you lay things out here, brother. You're the best. We're gone for a month. I'm not going to see you for a month. You enjoy your time away, but we'll be bugging you again with football on the horizon come August, okay?
Look forward to it, Dustin.
He's Josh Applebaum. This is Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's here, it's here. Get it while it's hot. Our all-new VSiN NFL Betting Guide is out now, and it's packed with everything you need to dominate this NFL season. We've got in-depth profiles of every single team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends that you will not find anywhere else. That's not all, though. Our experts have weighed in with their best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or just getting started, our NFL Betting Guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. And to celebrate the release of this guide, VSiN's going all out today with expert NFL analysis, insider tips, and insight to help you start the season strong. Visit VSiN.com/guide to get your copy of our all-new NFL Betting Guide today. That's VSIN.com/guide. Welcome back to Sharp Money. Dustin Sweetelson riding solo at the D, much like I do every night in this town at these various casinos and bars, hanging out with you, looking and dissecting this VSiN NFL betting guide, where I have to tell you all, I was a little disheartened when I found out I was not smarter than everyone else. I went through this VSiN betting guide and I said, you know what? There's a team that I'm higher on than everyone. I'm ahead of them. They're not going to beat me to putting this out there. And then I counted the 21 experts that we have on our panel and the VSiN betting guide. 18 of the 21 members, myself included, pick this team to win their division. 5 experts have this team to win the NFC, and 5 teams have them winning the Super Bowl. So when you think you're smart, you either find out your contemporaries here at VSiN are as smart as you, or we're all going to be dumb together, but I don't care. I love the Philadelphia Eagles this year. I can't get enough of the Philadelphia Eagles this year. They are such an optimal bounce-back team to me that I don't care that everyone else here agrees with me. I think we're going to be riding off into the sunset, into the Super Bowl with this team. I think a couple key things played out this offseason when it comes to the Eagles. You can talk about on the field. We will get to the additions they made up and down their depth chart, but I think it's more of a maturity thing. And to remember how things left off a year ago with an absolute meltdown down the stretch and into the postseason, let's hear from one of their longtime offensive linemen, Lane Johnson. He went on the Rich Eisen show earlier this week and was simply asked, is what happened last year now in the rear view for this team?
I mean, you know, players play, coaches coach, and, you know, as bad as stuff was, we never got it corrected. So, you know, we did a lot of work this offseason. We have new offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore. Excited about that. You know, with football, a lot of same plays, just different terminology, but really like, you know, what he's done in the past, you know, kind of offensive line friendly. And, yeah, man, we're very excited. And, yeah, I mean, we're ready to get this bad taste out of our mouth and get on the right track again.
As Lane Johnson on the Rich Eisen Show, and I think there's two key names he brought up there, and that is their new coordinators, because it was very evident early on last year the Eagles were not right. And what happened late in the season as they lost in the postseason and lost a lot of games down the stretch to teams they should have beat, like the New York Giants, like the Arizona Cardinals. They were a team that had high expectations coming off a Super Bowl loss the year before. And they lost both coordinators because of all of that success. They had inexperience on the offense and on the defense. What do? They go address their biggest offseason need, which was the maturity of this team. And the head coach, to be fair, Nick Sirianni, he's kind of immature as well. So what do? They brought in two no-nonsense coordinators. Kellen Moore steps right in, and whatever you want to say about his past as a play caller, he's been through it a lot, and he's been through it in the NFC East, which is always a grind. On the defensive end, they go grab Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio is old school. He is aggressive, and man, does he have weapons to play with. And on that defense, one of the big needs that he's going to have to play with is the secondary. Because a year ago, James Bradbury was getting abused and picked on teams left and right. And in a very unique instance, the Eagles were able in the draft to address that issue at secondary by taking not just Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo, they went and grabbed Iowa's Cooper DeJean. And I think it's really unique when you get two young defensive backs like that and you put them into a situation where on the other side they'll have Darius Slay. And Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean will not have the responsibility that we see a lot of young rookies who get picked on by opposing offenses have to go through, where they have to line up on the other team's best receiver. Darius Slay is clearly that number one. So you're going to bring in these rookies along the way where there's not as much pressure on them to shut down these top-tier receivers. I think that's a major win for the team. They go and they get Bryce Huff. And I just think they get younger all across this defense. And I think this defense with Fangio dialing things up, I do think they take a step up. The two Georgia guys on the line are studs, and the linebacking core. Devin White was a massively underrated offseason addition for the Eagles. But then it's the offense and Jalen Hurts, because there are issues about him on and off the field as well. Whether this guy who had so much success in college at two different stops and has been so mature and so poised every step of the way, his leadership for the first time ever was coming into question. And Lane Johnson addressed everyone questioning his quarterback when he was on the Rich Eisen Show.
I think just this offseason, he's really done a good job of bonding with his teammates. I felt like the connection has definitely grown. A really big offseason. The work ethic has never been an issue. Tremendous worker, but just becoming a more vocal leader. And, you know, I think whenever he speaks, you know, guys listen up, and him reaching out to guys and creating these bonds in off season, you know, he's having these, you know, throwing sessions with the receivers now in the off season, you know, getting work in, but really has gone out of his way to connect with his teammates. And we feel that. And yeah, we're really excited about this year. Every year's a kind of a prove it deal to everybody when you're in that town. And, you know, we all feel it to some degree, but Jalen's our guy moving forward. We love him. We respect him. And, you know, nobody puts in more work than he does.
Look, Jalen Hurts is a bit of an imperfect thing at quarterback. He is not an accurate passer, but that doesn't mean he can't have a high completion rate. I think in the NFL, when you look at guys who have a unique skill set, and Jalen has that, you can still win with what he does despite not being overly accurate. You just have to scheme up high percentage throws for him along the way. And I think they address some of that by bringing in Saquon Barkley to the mix. A lot of these very easy short passes to Barkley to let him make things in space will not only get his completion rate up, but it's also big chunk plays being picked up without having to force the ball downfield. The defense then has to commit to defending these shorter passes. That opens up the opportunity to push the ball down the field through the air. So for Jalen Hurts, I love to hear that he's connecting with his team more. Things were definitely very weird down the stretch for him and this organization. But I do think when you look at the way the Eagles are building this thing, they're putting him in a better situation this year with Kellen Moore coming in, with Saquon Barkley coming in. And I just think this offense has an opportunity to go back to its basics, which is scheming things up in this RPO. And that brings us to the Barkley piece. Because a lot of teams have been running this RPO going back to, I don't know, RG3 with Washington his rookie year and Kyle Shanahan. You fake the handoff. You either give it or you give it to the running back. People move on the defense. You make that read. You either throw it or stick it in the belly and let the running back do his thing. And I think what we have here with Hurts' ability with his legs, because he's a unique runner at his thickness, two C's, and the weapons on the outside, Brown and Devontae Smith, how they can stretch the field and turn short passes into big gains. It's the best assembly of talent we've seen anyone trying to run this style of offense. So as long as we scheme things up properly, when it comes to the new addition, Barkley, when it comes to the guys, Brown getting paid and Devontae Smith there, I think there's a real opportunity for Kellen Moore to make a major statement here with this offense. And Lane Johnson, he happens to like the move of Saquon Barkley. He also talked about that with Rich Eisen.
It felt like I was in an alternate reality.
Right.
You know, I never, you know, I've made this statement before. I never thought he'd be on our team, and surprised that he is. But, yeah, early impressions are, good God, he has some big legs. I bet he can squat a lot. I bet he can run fast. And, you know, about 15 seconds in, you know, he's proven everybody right. A guy that can do it all at the running back position and then, you know, flex him out at wide receiver can do that. Very versatile, but really just a truly a team guy. You know, he bonded with everybody immediately. You know, we played against him many years, but really got to know him quickly, very competitive, loves the golf. So we did a lot of that too during OTAs, but just a great teammate, you know, are my early impressions.
Okay.
More to come on Saquon Barkley and what he's capable this year later on in the show. Also, Matt Eumanns will check in. We'll get his thoughts on the AFC West. But the Philadelphia Eagles, I looked at the VSiN betting guide. I saw everyone else was with me. And despite my ego wanting to be different, I still stand by them. I love the Eagles 17-1 to win the Super Bowl. I love them to have the best record in football. And I love Jalen Hurts for 16-1 for MVP. And there will be another play involving another player from the Eagles we'll get to later on in the show. All right. I think Patrick will be back. We'll get his thoughts on the NFC and the Super Bowl. When we return, it's Sharp Money VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, VSiN.com, your best bets, your betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, your betting tools, and your betting guides. Now, that one's very important because guess what's dropping right now? Of course, the NFL betting guide. Check it out all new at VSiN.com. Dustin Sweetelson, live downtown Las Vegas at the D. I'm Patrick Maher, live in Los Angeles. And I want to talk about the offensive rookie of the year. Now, of course, this is a future. And when talking about futures, you have to think about it this way. Futures present an opportunity cost because simply put, your money is worth more now than at some point in the future. Okay, you understand that futures, the time value of money is wrapped up in it. So when you're talking about a futures play, and Dustin likes to get involved with futures, you're looking for that higher payout, or you'd rather just keep your money now and continue to invest day after day. So you're looking for a higher payout. So when betting futures, you know, for the most part, timing the market can be very important as well. When talking about the offensive rookie of the year, first, let's talk about some trends, big guy, because this market, offensive rookie of the year, over the last 7 years, three quarterbacks have won it, two wide receivers have won it, and two running backs have won it. So the odds of wide receivers' chances over the past few years have increased, obviously, because of the state of offense in 2024, and the odds of the running backs, we'll get to that, hasn't been since 2018 and Saquon Barkley, where he and Alvin Kamara went back-to-back 17 and 18, the odds of betting on a running back does decrease. What's interesting about that, Dustin Sweetelson, is last year, you know, the favorite going into the season, offensive rookie of the year, was Bijan Robinson at 3-1. Your second betting favorite was Bryce Young at 4-1. And at 6.5-1, C.J. Stroud was your winner. So your last three, Stroud, a wide receiver in 22 in Garrett Wilson, a wide receiver in 21 in Ja'Marr Chase, a quarterback in Justin Herbert, 20, Kyler Murray, quarterback in 19, and then you go Saquon and Alvin Kamara. So you understand the trends here. We're going away from the running back. Now, I understand why bettors were all over Bijan, specifically in that offense last year, big guy, because he can also catch the ball out of the backfield. So a bit of a wide receiver. He had trouble with the dropsies. He got benched often last year, and C.J. Stroud had one of the great rookie seasons we've ever seen. More trends. Each of the last six winners selected in the top 10, big guy, as far as offensive rookie of the year. And eight of the last 10 offensive rookie of the year winners selected in the first round. Now you're thinking, wait, hold on now. Who didn't get selected? Kamara in the third round back in 18 or 17. And Dak Prescott was an offensive rookie of the year winner. And he was selected, as Cowboy fans know, in the fourth round. Go ahead, big guy.
But the Dak one is fascinating because I do think there's a potential for someone similar this year because he was not set to start his rookie year. An injury to Tony Romo in the preseason led to that, and there's a big number on a quarterback not expected to start this year as a rookie, yet the guy in front of him is coming off a major injury at 35 years old.
And I know that's right. Let's jump into the market. Offensive rookie of the year, a short number on your boy, Caleb Williams. And again, you're not often going to find a quarterback coming into a 7-win team as the number one overall pick. Remember, got the trade from Carolina. So this is a perfect spot for Caleb Williams to win offensive rookie of the year. Of course, Keenan Allen, they draft Roma Dunze. Of course, they're already loaded on offense, and he has an opportunity with a good offensive line. He has a good opportunity to show up and show out. There's no surprise here at plus 135. DJ Moore as well. Komet as well. Plus 135. He's by far your shortest number on the board.
But you opened this whole segment talking about tying up your money for a long time. And yep, tying up your money for a plus 135, man, a lot still needs to go right for him. He's still a rookie. It's still a cold weather, outdoor situation for a young quarterback. And oh, by the way, despite all those weapons, they have such a good defense, he may not have to put up gaudy numbers for them to be successful, and he could therefore be protected from making mistakes and not have the stats that usually is needed for a quarterback to win this award.
Yeah, but you mentioned it, that opportunity cost of tying up that money right now for the same amount in the future at plus 135, we're not going to go there.
Nope.
Now, one player I do find fascinating, and I think you may have been alluding to him, is J.J. McCarthy. Because you also have the presumed starter there in Sam Darnold. You have some action on that player as well. But if we think about J.J. McCarthy, now there's, I think it's probably around a 10% chance, probably less than that, that J.J. McCarthy is your week one starter for the Minnesota Vikings, big guy. But if he does end up playing, first off, he's walking into that O'Connell system, which is perfectly tailored for him. Justin Jefferson and on, they have tremendous offensive talent, solid additions on defense. So one thing I would say, it's a brutal division. The Packers are very good. You just mentioned Chicago, their defense, and of course the Detroit Lions, many have them winning the Super Bowl. So J.J. McCarthy right now is on the board, big guy, at 15-1, and I know that's a player that you wanted to discuss.
No, that actually, J.J. McCarthy, ooh, while I like the opportunity, I mean, many rookie quarterbacks don't step in day one with a number one target like he's going to have with Justin Jefferson, to not have a run game similar to he has with Aaron Jones, and then Hockenson as a weapon at tight end. But also last year, I mean, Osborne popped at receiver, Addison was good. Like, they have weapons, and I think if he does end up taking that job, he has a chance. But no, there's a couple other quarterbacks that jumped out to me, and I'll throw the crazy one at you. I'll be the psychopath that puts this out into the universe. But in
go
a
ahead
world where we're all expecting Kirk Cousins day one to be perfectly fine coming off an Achilles at his age, there's nothing to say that he doesn't get hurt again at this age. And Michael Penix was drafted for a reason, because he was experienced, because he's older, because Atlanta wants to win now. So if Cousins is not healthy and ready to go at any point in the year, Penix could step in with all of these weapons that we're saying Kirk Cousins has and just be a successful quarterback. He's 60-1. There's a reason he's 60-1. It's really unlikely, but it's a bet that is worth taking a shot on, in my opinion, at a very small amount. And if it becomes live, you can adjust later.
You have a great process when it comes to futures. And I got to be honest with you, I don't hate that play at 60-1. One injury to Cousins, you're going to win that division if you're Penix Jr. You're in a perfect spot. I do not hate that. Well, I wanted to hate it.
Yeah.
I wanted to, but I don't.
Well, because we love Kirk Cousins. But he doesn't even have to. The numbers are kind of irrelevant. And the amount of games is irrelevant, because if he steps in and leads them to the playoffs, which I think we both agree he's capable of doing as a rookie with what they have there, I think he has the potential to win this award. And at 60-1, I would take that flyer.
I do like it. And we talked about the opportunity cost. Well, 60-1 certainly justifies tying up your money right now.
Exactly.
Now, I'm going to give you the winner of Offensive Rookie of the Year, though I don't hate Dustin's flyer on Michael Penix. Okay. The winner at 5.5-1, and this one's easy for me, is, of course, Jaden Daniels. I think the position he's walking into with Cliff Kingsbury, and then if you think about Washington, they add Austin Ekeler, a good 1-2 punch, kind of a change of pace with Brian Robinson Jr. Terry McLaurin's a stud. Jahan Dotson has a bounce back year. Drafted Luke McCaffrey, signed Zach Ertz. Ben Sinnott was a big pick for them, the tight end. A vet offensive line, which they filled some holes. And here's the key about Offensive Rookie of the Year. Are they going to win the division, the Washington Commanders? No, but the vibes are completely different. Obviously, you bring Dan Quinn in. You have a defensive coordinator, an offensive coordinator that excite people. The general manager, Adam Peters, has done a great job kind of filling in the holes there, and everything's just on the up and up. You got rid of Ron Rivera, but here's what it comes down to. If I'm betting an award like Offensive Rookie of the Year, I want padded stats, big guy. And it's not just he's going to be automatically, whether it be deep throws, intermediate, he's going to be tremendous throwing the football. But they're going to be coming from behind a lot. And this is a dude that forced more missed tackles in college than anybody at the quarterback position. That's not going to change. He, Jaden Daniels at 5.5-1, is Lamar Jackson-like quickness. Okay, he is going to, when they need a big play, he's not only going to do it with the deep ball, which he's exceptional at, he's also going to do it with his feet. That will pad the stats. By the time the season's over, we're going to look at the passing yards, the touchdowns, and the rush yards, and 5.5-1, I'll tie up that cash, Dustin Sweetelson.
The legs are the equalizer. Playing from behind, not just with the legs, but throwing from behind late in games, the numbers are going to look great. And oh, by the way, Cliff Kingsbury coached a former Offensive Rookie of the Year in Kyler Murray. What did he do that year? 3,700 passing yards, 500-plus rush yards, 64% completion rate, 20 touchdowns through the air. There is no reason year one Jaden Daniels can't make that happen for Washington.
You nailed it. And he was the Offensive Rookie of the Year in 2019. Cliff can't coach. As a head coach, he is not your delegator, but he is tremendous as an offensive coordinator. He's going to have plenty of time to get in that lab. Ekeler catching the ball, Brian Robinson, a little thunder, a tremendous wide receiver core, some good draft picks, and some vets up front. 5.5-1, Jaden Daniels, Offensive Rookie of the Year.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, you've heard, but the VSIN NFL betting guide was released today, and there's never been a better time to become a VSIN Pro subscriber. Our all-new NFL betting guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, betting trends. You'll have all the tools you need to bet this season, but smarter. Plus, our experts share their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need to get ahead of the action. To get the guide, you must become a VSiN Pro for a limited time. Get an annual subscription to become a VSiN Pro at an unbeatable price. Now, it's normally $240 for the year, but you can subscribe right now for $199 with the promo code GUIDE. Plus, we'll throw in an extra month for free. So that's 13 months VSiN Pro access to everything we do, including our daily best bets, our 24/7 video premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and our special edition betting guides to keep you betting smarter all year long. Visit VSiN.com/guide right now. Use the promo code GUIDE and get 13 months of VSiN Pro access for $199. That's VSiN.com/guide. Sharp Money, DraftKings, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. A huge day for us here, not just on Sharp Money, but across the network as we are dropping our VSiN Pro Betting Guide. Dustin Sweetelson, downtown Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher. A tremendous job. We had a power surge through the studio here in Los Angeles. Went out for a bit, but Dustin Sweetelson, always the professional, did an amazing job picking me up, so I appreciate that, big guy. A couple of notes. One, the big guy and I had over 4.5 on Yankee team total last night, and they left 9 runners on base. Could not stop. We're obsessed with hitting into double plays. It pissed me off beyond anything. But you know what made me happy? We just learned, and the big guy, tremendous job, as he's hosting, he's producing as well, he booked John Smoltz for the program tomorrow. So one of the great pitchers of all time will be joining us on Sharp Money, John Smoltz. We just went through, and we're going to have Matt Eumanns, part of our little special, coming up at the top of the hour. We've got Aaron Holterman to continue with the NFL. We just went through Offensive Rookie of the Year, and it's 5.5 to 1. It was earlier a little bit of a better number, but right now, +550 over at DraftKings on Jaden Daniels. I know there were a couple players you wanted to give an opinion on here, big guy.
Look, I really like your play, and Tim Murray agrees with you on Jaden Daniels. The price also is really right. I like the number as well. I think it's important to note when you're betting something like this is the number has to be right, and that +550. It's pretty juicy considering how refined of a passer he is day one in the NFL. With that said, there's a lot of other variables at play. I'll give you one more long shot and a bet that I do kind of agree with, even though I don't love the player. You're actually higher on this player than I am, and that's Bo Nix. And you see here in the VSiN NFL guide, Matt Brown and Femi Abebefe both like 18-1 in Bo Nix, and I do think there's a strong case to be made. One, he steps in with a coach that knows how to get the most out of quarterbacks, right? Day one, Bo Nix. He's experienced. I think he's a little bit more mobile than people give him credit for. And then the other factor that I liked with Jaden Daniels, this team's going to be losing a lot, by a lot of points, to high-octane offenses like the Chiefs. Yeah, he's going to be throwing the ball. They're abandoning the run game very early, will be the Broncos this year. Therefore, Bo Nix has a chance to put up some gaudy numbers at the quarterback position.
I like Bo Nix at 18-1. I totally agree. It's almost number. Like he's, yeah, it's a tremendous price. I'd prefer, again, the opportunity cost of wrapping up your money for the future. I'd prefer better than 5.5-1. It's not terrible. 18-1's great. You're also Penix Jr. at 61 worth of flyer. I like that.
All right.
I'm going to give you, and again, it's almost like Sean Payton's remote controlling your buddy Bo Nix,
exactly,
which I think could work in his favor. May I give you, which I thought you were going to go here with an 18-1 price. And we have seen before CJ Stroud this past year, we had two wide receivers, Garrett Wilson in 22 and Ja'Marr Chase in 21. So the odds have increased at that position over the past few years just because of the state of the passing game in 2024. I thought you were going to go here. Malik Nabers on your Giants is 18-1. So there's a clear path for Nabers to lead the Giants in targets. So you start there because Slayton and Wandale Robinson tied for the lead last year with 76 targets. And, you know, many viewed even more than Marvin Harrison Jr., Nabers as the best wide receiver in the class. And he forced more missed tackles than anybody. I just think they're going to be targeting him. I think Daboll is obsessed with the idea of using his speed. Malik Nabers at 18-1, big guy. I thought that's where you were going.
So we are close to the same page here. What I'll say about Nabers is all the reports are out of practice that he's a sensational player, that he is just going to be such a monster. Even though he's still a little raw in some respects, he's just such a playmaker. And Brian Daboll, with the pressure on this year, also pressure on Daniel Jones, wants to look right about signing Jones to that extension. I think they force feed their best weapon. There is a world where he could jump off the page. But I'm actually going to go with a different receiver out of LSU. 40-1 at Brian for Brian Thomas Jr. is a crazy number. I'm sorry. This guy was so productive last year at LSU, 68 catches, almost 1,200 yards, 17 touchdowns. The only reason he didn't do more is because Nabers was on the other side commanding a ton of respect and a ton of attention. We have to look at the situation he's walking into as well, because he's going to have Trevor Lawrence throwing him the football. Not oftentimes does a young receiver with this type of ability get picked by a team that has a system in place with a quarterback who just inked his own extension to throw him the football. And with that, in that receiving core, the other options, Christian Kirk, Gabe Davis, they're fine. They're NFL receivers. They don't have the upside of Brian Thomas Jr. I do think there is a world where Brian Thomas Jr. just absolutely goes off based on what he did at LSU for Jaden Daniels alongside Malik Nabers and steps into Jacksonville, becomes that number one alpha dog out of the gate and Trevor Lawrence's go-to weapon.
I don't hate it. Look at you. I don't. You know, the team, Brian Thomas Jr. at 40-1. There is one team. Now, I'd prefer Nabers over Harrison Jr. Said that repeatedly. We'll move on from that. Mm-hmm. But amongst the quote-unquote sharp community, the big guy, the Arizona Cardinals are getting some hype right now. The vibes seem to be tremendously high. Now, 7-1 on Harrison Jr. is a little short, but he is going to lead that team in targets. There's no doubt about that.
Look, it's hard for receivers because they have to it's hard to control your own destiny. And I know I just gave out a 40-1 on a receiver, but at 7-1 it's a much different scenario we're talking about. For Harrison, he's got Kyler Murray throwing the football. A lot of it depends on how you feel about Kyler Murray. Times he's looked good, times he hasn't looked good. I don't know what he is. I don't know how you win
donk
with him.
Donk sometimes, not but a donk sometimes.
I will tell you this. You and I came around to this a year ago. Jonathan Gannon might be a good football coach. He's a weirdo. He creeps me out. All the sound bites are really odd. But you know what? That team played hard. They made all the right decisions. They were not a stupid football team. They just weren't talented. I think he may know feed his best weapon, and that's get the ball to Marvin Harrison Jr. But I don't know if I can get in on 7-1, though.
The Jonathan Gannon glow up from how he arrived to how he ended was transcendent.
Do you have fire in your belly?
My dude couldn't have been more plastic, more forced, but you know what we realized? He was just being genuine. He's super weird.
He's weird.
But he's super likable and eccentric.
Yeah, he never developed as a human being because all he's ever done is want to coach ball, right? Like, yes. Aspects of his personal life never came together. The personality never came around because his whole personality.
It doesn't quite compute.
It's just, I want to draw up defenses. That's all I care about.
Yeah, but by the time, it's almost like you meet that person and they're odd, but there's something about them. And I think that's what happened with the team, because with each week, the quotes about Gannon got better from the players, so I think it's almost like the players started to realize, oh, he's just super weird, but he kind of rules, that's where they're at right now.
And I think they respected him because they were ultra-prepared. That team just never looked out of position. They never made dumb plays. They never shot themselves in the foot. They gave a lot of good teams a tough time. Now, they weren't good, so there was always an expiration date on how long they could hang around with these opponents, but I thought that was a very well-coached team in year one.
Totally agree. Never watched the Cardinals last year and didn't feel impressed because they were always at a talent deficit for the most part. And super prepared. I think that's the best word to use there. Okay, good job. Offensive rookie of the year. We still have the big guy. This may be his best bet in the guide. We'll have to wait and see. But the offensive player of the year is coming up on the program. We're going to go Matt Youmans first. He's got AFC West. And, of course, he's always a huge contributor to every guide we do. And then we're going to get into the Offensive Player of the Year, which the big guy, he can't wait to point at his little camera there and wag that finger in your face and tell you why this player is going to win you a lot of cash. Youmans is next.